It's lovely to be here. Just a little bit about who I am, because do you know, though, in this part of the world, we always like to know a little bit about who is your man, and there's a few familiar faces around, but my name's Stephen McElhinney, and the name McElhinney probably rings a few bells here in Marilyn. My mother was a curate here many years ago. I grew up on the Avenue Road in Lurgan, went to Lurgan College, and left the college in 1988. So you can do all the maths and you can work out how old I am. But it's lovely to be here in Marilyn, and my goodness, did I ever think I'd be standing here preaching in Marilyn Parish Church all those years ago. But it's a lovely privilege to be with you this evening. Just a bit about my story, because I think it's always interesting to know, well, what's your story? Because your story will be unique, because God has called you to do what you have been called to do. And it's a decision, isn't it? Day by day, week by week, year by year, season by season, how God uses us. But I went in 1988, headed off to Aston University, became an optometrist, and quite happily was testing eyes, fitting contact lenses for 10 years. In the meantime, I had the wonderful moment of meeting my wife, and Kathy, and we... at that stage, she met an optometrist, and then before she knew it, all this talk of ordination started. And as you do with ordination, this is my experience, you try to push it away because you think, no, that's not me, that's for other people. But the Lord said no. And eventually, when you give in to that moment and say, Lord, actually, you know what's best for me. I trust you to lead me the way, and to be fulfilled in the way that you have made me, and so on, so forth. So it's been a joy to go through Dublin. We travelled down to Dublin, ordained in 2005. Along the way, Ruby, Patrick, and Scott arrived. Ruby's now 18, and two boys are in that school stage. And here I am. In the meantime, I did a couple of curacies, one in Dublin, one in Dungannon, and most recently, before taking on the role of mission director of SAMS, I was rector in Derevalgi Parish, which is just north of Lisburn, if you know that part of the world, there for nearly 7 years. So that's just a little bit about me, and our stories are always to be encouraged, because what is God saying? But what we want to do tonight is to look at the Lord afresh. And I do hope that after we look at Psalm 96, we will be given sort of fresh eyes. My hope and prayer is that we will see him for who he is. Because when we see him for who he is, well, then that changes everything. It changes our response to him. It changes our ability to see that he is the king, that he has the power and authority over not just this thing, not just this little area, but everything. And when we are given those fresh eyes, that our response to that, whether that's to go to the far ends of the world, or whether that's to go out these doors with a fresh sense of call, of mission, of being kingdom workers wherever we are, but that's so much easier when we get a fresh perspective of who the Lord is tonight. So I'm going to read Psalm 96. I'm not sure if there's pew Bibles or whatever, but listen up. It's Psalm 96, and there's 13 verses. I don't even know if I can say it to you a page number or whatever, but Psalm 96, it's after 95 and before 97, okay? Just for those who are a bit confused, because the sun does all sorts of things to people. Psalm 96. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his faithfulness. Here ends our reading. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it comes and it invites itself to rest anew on us. It hits our spirits afresh. Lord, it has the power to change us again and to bring us to new places, even this evening. Father, we pray that we be people who believe that, who know that, and who are changed by that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, what I propose to do is just to give you a little bit of, there is a sort of a mission theme, obviously, going through this week. In a couple of days' time, one of the satellite meetings from the Bangor Missionary Convention will be happening in Darlingstown. And so it's lovely to be able to talk a little bit about Psalms and to think about what's going on out there. Where and why and how come mission has happened in this particular part of the world. So it's lovely for me to just explain to you a little bit about SAMS, which is South American Mission Society. I've got a few slides here, so hopefully technology will work, which is fantastic. It all started with this chap, Alan Gardner. He was a captain in the Navy. And when he was saved, he was very clearly called to go to the very tip of South America, to the native indigenous peoples in that part. He went to Tierra del Fuego, and very simply put, in a nutshell, things did not go according to plan. Indeed, him and his companions, they died on the beach. And I know Fanta had the opportunity to go onto that very beach. But what seemed to be a great senseless loss, God was able to use for his power and for his glory, because guess what? Our God is all-powerful, even over those things which seem doomed. Because Alan Gardner, his diary, the belongings of him and his companions were brought back to England, and from that, there's a great sense of people being inspired to give up what they had in England and to go as Alan Gardner had done. And the Patagonian Mission Society, which started off quickly after a number of years, turned into South American Mission Society. And recognising the fact that the mission, which started off at the very tip of this great continent, the end of the world, spread up into countries like Argentina, Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay, and Peru, and Bolivia, particularly. And what SAMS Ireland has been involved with now for many years is the legacy of that great SAMS movement, which started off under the auspices of the Church of England. And many, many, many missionaries later, people who gave up what they knew but listened to God's call because they recognize what our psalm is about, that God is the King of not just my life, but the King of the world. And therefore, the world needs to know about that King. And they decided that under the Lord, under his provision and his enabling, that they would be the people who would bring that news wherever they went. Time does not permit to go into all the different bits of story, but just a little snapshot. Some of these slides and the work will be familiar to you. Others might not be. Colegio San Andres is based in Paraguay, and over the years, it's not just a secondary school, but this school was started off with a very clear aim in the 60s, and that was twofold: to provide education for the missionary children, but let's aim it, because of the English nature of the education, let's aim it at the higher strata of society, the people who would become the movers and shakers in years to come. And they were very intentional about and that was their aim, how to attract those people. And over the years, amazing thing happens. The school grew. Over from Ireland, there was several volunteers have been there. And helped and assisted. Some are here, which is amazing. But last year, the new incoming president of Paraguay, guess what school he went to? It was San Andres College. That dream, that little idea of what if God calls us to not just have a school for this people, but let's think about what he might want in a bigger sense. Because of that, the future president has been through that education system. That's an amazing story, I think, and something which is inspirational to know that small things under the Lord can turn into major influencers on society. Another someone else who you may be familiar with, Cecilia, who's based in Salta in Northern Argentina. She works amongst local churches, bringing different programs, children's programs. She's involved in schools, and she also runs a Romance Academy. Seasonally, she will head over into Bolivia, and she is in the process of bringing the good news of Jesus into not just her locality, but internationally, across borders as well. Our own Claire Holmes. Claire has been in Paraguay now for many years, based in Concepcion, and she's about to welcome a volunteer who's travelling even this evening. Yvonne Cunningham from Five Mile Town is travelling tonight, and we pray for her for safety and travel as she spends a number of weeks with Claire and Concepcion, all the time wondering, what is my call? How do I see you, God, in terms of my life and my future for me? Claire has been really such an inspiration to so many people who know her, the churches that she has been in contact with. And Claire's pray for her because she really feels a strong sense that this year is her last full year, as next year she will be making that decision to come home, probably by this time next year. I pray for her as she makes those adjustments necessary in order to come out of a situation, but as she looks forward to, well, what is it, Lord, that you're calling me to next? Someone who I've really enjoyed to get to know is Luke and Penn Pratt. They're based in Santiago. Luke is unusual in that he is an Irishman who has met a Chilean girl. Penn came to the hub in Belfast, the chaplaincy at Queen's, and 8 years ago, I think it's about 7 or 8 years ago, they met and they fell in love, got married, and they travelled back to Santiago, and they've been there now for 6 years, and they've been blessed by little baby Emily with them. But over these last number of years that Luke has sensed that call of the Lord in his life, and it has been confirmed by others in his church who have said, look, we feel that you've got those pastoral gifts and qualities that are required for church leadership. And we would like you to consider going forward for training, in theological training, with the view perhaps of ordination, but certainly been involved in a much deeper way in church leadership. Luke is now embarked on his first year at the theological training seminary in Santiago called SEP. Pray for them as this unique sort of international couple embark on training in a big city, Santiago, but particularly that the Lord would show them what the next steps would be. Sam's is supporting them and trying to liaise churches here and who this around the whole idea of theological education and how that in turn deepens and strengthens and builds up the local church in Latin America. Because that's what Sam's desire is. As we go into the world, as we form partnerships, as we collaborate with churches, wherever they may be, that's the heart of that. How do we know the King of the world? How do we proclaim the King of the world? Finally, just to give again a brief run through of some of the work that goes on. This chap here, Alec Dean, has been working on a garden project for a number of years, also in northern Argentina. Alec has really been gripped by an event which really got him moved into action. A young witchy girl who was 8 years old died of malnutrition in a part of the world that really that should not have happened. The witchy people are traditionally hunter-gatherers, but because of the modernization of countries, their ability to move freely around the country has been severely restricted. But in terms of giving them new skills to help them to live in this more modern world, they've been left behind. And Alec, with his horticultural background, has been really grabbed to help these people to learn how to just do anything to do with growing a garden, preparing the ground, and seeing it all the way through. I was very impressed when I went to visit him for a few days, and he brought me around many, many gardens. Lives have been changed because someone has come along and said, here, I want to help you. I want to show you how you can have a quality of life, how you can stand with dignity, how you can provide for your family, all as an outworking of the good news of Jesus into their lives. There's a picture just of the water for irrigation. It's all been really important for Alec. For any of these stories, do take a copy of Buena Vista. There's some down at the back. I've a lot more here, so do take that. You're very welcome to it. If you're not on our mailing list, do let me know your name, and I'd be delighted to help you. There are other events through the course of the year that you're really really invited to. The first one coming up is we're trying just to build up a sense of community and family within SAMS. If you want to know a little bit more about what SAMS does and explore something more of what does it mean to hear God's voice and to respond in His voice to His voice, well, I am very happy to meet you at any stage. Do come and talk to me. Friday night gala. We call it Friday Night Jive. It's a Sam's Gala Ball. It's in Le Mans on Friday the 1st of November. It's a new venture, and we're really looking forward to meeting and greeting people as the Sam's community is informed about what Sam's is doing. And there's also, if you want to speak to Fanta as well, there's a Sam Gold residential happening later in November. And then, of course, our Friday night live event, which is the first Friday in February. You're very welcome to come to those. I want us just to focus just for the remainder of my time on Psalm 96. I don't know if this, I'm going to show you a little video next, okay? And I don't know if you've ever done this. I still haven't, but I've seen other people who have, and I always get a bit of a laugh, and here's why. Hopefully this'll work. These are virtual reality goggles. They're being presented with something, a picture inside. Watch the TV screen. Don't think she was expecting that. I like this one. For anybody who says, I'm too old for that sort of thing. Think to yourself, you get so into that. Surely to goodness, you know the reality is there's a floor there. There's a whole lot more. If you want to look up some more, you can get a good several minutes of more entertainment. But why I want to start with that is that these people were so taken with what was presented to them by graphics, by sound, that their present reality in the physical world suddenly just took to second place. And this virtual reality became prominent, so much so that it affected their actions to make a reasonable assessment of their present physical surroundings. Are you with me? They're so taken up with it. And I want to start with this idea because I think as Christians that we need a dose of godly virtual reality. Because in this present physical place, this world, that we're blessed to live in it, but we need a new sense of the picture of the King, a picture of a sense of who God is, his glory, and how we respond to him as the King of Kings and Lord of all. And because of that, then how we react should be different. It should be out of sync with what the rest of the world sees. We should be reacting differently to what goes on around us because of the reality of the kingdom of God. And the good news is that the kingdom reality is there. It is coming. The kingdom is not yet, but it is being built. And as Christians, we need to be people who allow ourselves to be influenced by that heaven reality more and more and more. And some of what is in this psalm, I believe, helps us to reprogram that for our lives. This little clip here, you may remember it from many years ago. Leonardo DiCaprio getting caught up in that moment, the King of the world. And for us, we need to just keep reminding ourselves that we aren't the king. We are to substitute ourselves to the side, and we've got to keep looking to our Lord and Savior, who is the King, and to do those things which he calls us. But it comes as a response. And tonight, it's not I am the King of the world, but we need to look at the King of the world. So what are some of the things? I just want to sort of break this down into a couple of chunks for us this evening to get us to think about how we can look at the King of the world to be influenced by the heavenly reality. If we look at the first six verses of Psalm 96, we see that we are to be people who are really to look at the King's glory, the King's glory. Psalm 96 is generally believed to be part of those psalms that were put together when the ark was being brought to its final resting place. Now, there's several places where that happened, and we look at our Old Testament. But the sense of procession, the sense of joyfulness, and the sense that the God's people there, the people of Israel, were welcoming their king. So what did they do to really inspire them to welcome their king? What we see at the very beginning is something very straightforward, which we have been doing, and that is this: the word sing is mentioned just three times at the start. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day. We are to be people who sing. Sometimes when we sing, we need, you know, the thing about, I listen to my teenagers sing songs or hum them, and they go over and over and over the same songs, don't they? And it's sort of like those earworms that you just can't get a tune out of your head. Well, I think as Christians, we're to be people who sing godly songs, that we sing to the Lord, something which influences, something that we can't get out of our head, something which states a heavenly reality. Sing to the Lord. Now, some of us might say, well, I can't really sing. But the thing about this is, are we people who change the spiritual atmosphere wherever we are by singing and declaring the truth of God and his word, who God is, in a joyful way? And that, if you imagine that procession coming up, it wouldn't be all somber and long faces. There was, remember, we read people like David who danced with all his might before the Lord, and the singing would be exuberant. So we, as we think about the King of the world, we are to be an exuberant people who allow our praises to dominate our lives. Verse 3 says, declare his glory among the nations. And this word declare has this: go and tell. Go and shout it out. Declare. Make a declaration. We can all think of historical declarations over the course of history where something significant was said. As God's people, we are declared the most significant historical event of all time, Jesus, because the history of that will change forever the future of people's lives. Are we to be people, and do we understand our role in declaring his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all the peoples? Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. That verse, great is the Lord. I wonder, have we thought about that again? We say it, we sing it, but do we tonight think God's great? Really great. Greater than any problem we might have. Greater than any mood that might be on us. Greater than just, you know, have we lost that? Do we need to recapture that great is the Lord and most worthy of praise? I think for some of us, we need to go back to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sorry that your greatness has been sort of dropped off my agenda slightly. That I got caught up in this, that this thing going on in my family seems too big even for you to sort out. That what's going on at work, that my finances, that's sort of taken over a little bit. But if we're to be God's people and we're proclaim God as the King of the world, we've got to capture again that God is great. God is to be praised and He is worthy. And He's to be feared above all gods. All the gods, all the things which try to take the place of God, there we read about in the next verse, they're idols, they're imposters. Let's be people who recognize the imposter, set it to the side, get rid of it, turn our backs to it, and once again declare that God is good, God is great, the King of the world. Anyone who has, if we think over the years, and who we might label a missionary, someone who's gone from these shores and gone far away, that this is something that they've caught, something of it as they've gone. Because they have, even though they don't know what to expect, they know that God is great, that God is good, and that their new song, because they have met with Jesus, has to become someone else's new song. That as they sing about the Lord, that an amazing harmony will develop amongst the peoples that they're called to be with. And isn't harmony wonderful? That whenever the right notes are sung in the right places, in those lovely harmonies, that's something that God does. That a song that we sing and a tune that goes with it, and other people join in. That's what the King of the world deserves. Next little section that we encounter is the King's Due. The King's Due. Because if the our heavenly King is this glory full and fills us with this his marvelous deeds, that God who needs to be praised, and his splendor and majesty, his strength and glory are his, then what's due to the King? What's our response to that? And these three words again, which almost mirror these sing, sing, sing. Ascribe, ascribe, ascribe in verse 7 and 8. Ascribe is maybe another way of saying give. Give. Take what we have and give it. Give it to the Lord, all you families of the nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Isn't it amazing that there's a sort of a glory about being human, which God gives us because we're made in His image, that we have the ability to give that back to Him. Give to the Lord glory and strength. That our praises, God doesn't need any strength, surely, does He? He's all powerful. But yet, this is written here. Give to God glory, give to Him strength. And it's all because of who He is. Bring an offering and come into His courts. Folks, with a King who is King of the world, that our response is that we have to give something of ourselves. To follow Jesus, there is a cost. There is a great cost because it cost Jesus everything, His life. And if we are to emulate and to be like our Lord and Saviour, that there will be a cost. A cost in our time, a cost in our effort, our cost to go out of our comfort zone, a cost to cross the divide, something which we find difficult to do. But nonetheless, God calls us. If we're to follow the King of the world, we're to be people who give, that we bring that offering, whatever that looks like. And what does God's promise to us? He says, worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. There's this lovely word that what is it to the splendor of His holiness? We can hear echoes of other parts of the Bible where the Lord says, take off those old garments and put on fresh, clean, white garments worthy of those people. And that's what the Lord does to us. He cleans us, he restores us as we give back to him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. But this is where it goes to, doesn't it? Because we might have started off with virtual reality, but a new and certain reality is coming. And the King is coming back to claim us as his own. And when the trumpet goes, and we've got to remind ourselves of that as Christian, because this is linked up with our next one as well, which is judgment. The King is coming. And first, verses 10 to the end, not 7 and 9, 10 to the end. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. I wonder when we're in the airport. This is sort of a glib, but we always listen out for the announcements, don't we? Because we know that when the announcement comes, we know that either we've got the ability to go, or we know, we're stuck here. Bishop Bill, I hope you got all the right types of announcements. You weren't held up in the airport coming here today. But that's a minor announcement. But this Say Among the Nations has this idea. It's like the announcement of all announcements. An announcement which is to make people stop in their tracks, literally change the way that they live their lives, and say that the Lord reigns, because he's the King of the world. Mission agencies have really been the real carriers of that over the years, that as they have responded to God's word, changed lives, that they... If you want to sum up in a phrase, and this is probably it, this is as good a phrase as any. The Lord reigns. He in his kingship will have all power, have all authority, even over this nation, even over this people group, no matter what the situation is. And that's our joy and our privilege and our responsibility, to declare the King to the kingship of the world under the Lord, because his judgment is coming. Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing, let all creation rejoice before the Lord, for he comes. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and all the peoples in his faithfulness. What a day today to enjoy the sunshine. Just all that's good and right about creation is really wrapped up in a beautiful day like today. But as creation feeds us and hits us afresh, this verse seems to say that this is a foretaste, because the judgment is coming. He comes to judge the earth. And our responsibility is to let people know about that and to be ready ourselves to meet with the King of Kings, to give an account of ourselves, how we've used our time, how we've declared, how we've sang for him, how we have given our lives, given whatever way he calls us, how we have in our own way, in our own time, gone among the nations, gone among people groups in our workplaces, in our families, across the street, whatever that looks like. God will come and judge the world and every inhabitant. As we think about mission, as we think about our response, we need to be people of the kingdom virtual reality. We need to be people who go to Psalms like Psalm 96 to be inspired again about a God who loves us, a God who we can only sing about, the God who puts us in a creation, a God who we can declare what he has done in our lives, and that we can give to God through all the different ways in where we find ourselves, and ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this view of the kingship that you have over all the world. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the privilege to declare your glory, to be people of your name who aren't so taken up with this present world that we act differently, that our lives respond to the beat of a different drum. Father, where we have maybe lost that sense of your greatness, Lord, we ask simply tonight that you would, in your graciousness, restore that to us. Where we need to say sorry for allowing other things, other idols, other things that have worry and anxiety to squeeze you out, Father, forgive us. Lord, we turn afresh to you. Lord, that you are the God above all gods. That your marvelous deeds have been done for all the nations. And Lord, give us the courage to day by day choose to live for you. Lord, that we would be people of the new song. And Lord, that we would be people that create a harmony that reminds and leads people to heaven everywhere we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.